You're tuned to Jazz 88. I'm Peter Solomon, and I am joined today in our studio by two local artists who have a show up at the Dow Gallery that's going to correspond with the Twin Cities Jazz Festival. It's called Jazz and More. The artists in question are Walter Griffin, a documentary photographer who's photographed a huge list of iconic jazz artists, and Patrice Goodall Abbey, who's also a local artist, and she's going to talk about what she does as well. Walter, I want to start with you this morning. Can you tell me about your relationship to jazz? When did you get exposed to this music?
I got exposed to it when I was a toddler. My brother was a jazz saxophonist, and he and Eddie Harris were in the band together in Chicago. So the first sounds that I can remember was some bebop. It stuck with me, and it's always been in my head, and it's something that has nurtured me and kept me going all my life.
That's amazing that your brother was playing with Eddie Harris. Can you tell me when your love for photography began, and then how did those two things intersect?
My love for photography began when I was about 3 years old. My mother had 12 brothers. And on the weekend, someone was always coming to visit, and my mother photographed everyone. And I asked her one day, could I take the photos? And she gave me the camera, and I became the best knee photographer in the world at that time. But I was just so curious because I had so many relatives, and it seemed like every weekend there was somebody new, and I was just really fascinated.
So when did you start taking photographs of jazz musicians? Because this seems to have become a lifelong passion for you.
I probably started that in the 70s. You know, people that I photographed in the 70s were like Rahsaan Roland Kirk, Cannonball Adderley, Yusef Lateef, Dizzy Gillespie, Count Basie, Sarah Vaughan.
Where were you living when you took these photos?
In Chicago.
You were living in Chicago.
Yeah.
So I went to your website, and I was looking around at the photographs that you have displayed there, and one of them appeared to be a fairly young photograph of Betty Carter.
Yes.
Small children found babes' blues around. Blues made them cry. Unlike adults, have fewer faults, and as a rule, they're pretty cool. They meet blues, they greet blues.
Is there a story connected with that image?
Yeah, I first heard Betty Carter in 1956, and I loved her voice, and she was singing with Ray Charles at the time, and I was fascinated by her and her story, and it took me like 20 years to photograph her. So I first heard her in 1956. It took me till 1976 to photograph her, and I think the photograph that I got was a definitive photograph of her.
What was it about her essence that you feel was captured by that image?
She was a revolutionary. She was the first black woman that I knew who started her own publishing recording company, and she decided to defy the record companies. She decided that she was going to perform the way she wanted to, you know, because a lot of the record companies were watering down the music, and they were making it bubblegum so that it could be commercial. But she told them, no, that's not what I'm going to do. And she became and won a Grammy Award. And after that, the record companies came to her and said, well, okay, now you can perform anything that you want. Just come and sign with us.
So a lot of the musicians that you have photographed have larger-than-life personalities, and it seems like there's always a story when people come into contact with Charles Mingus. You have a great photo on your website that you've taken of Mingus. Do you remember much about that photograph or the story behind it?
Well, let me tell you something about photographing musicians. You don't hear anything because your whole concentration is just on the musician, so capturing that moment of excitation. And then after you capture, then you can put your camera away and then you can listen. So I was just always fascinated with Mingus because when you grow up in a place, you learn about all these different musicians. And this was the first time that I had an opportunity to hear him and see him live. It's just really fascinating just being in a place and documenting them, never knowing what you're going to get. But this is during the time of film, so you didn't know what you got until after you processed and printed. So I guess I was just lucky.
Yeah. I recognized Rufus Harley in the photographs you took, and he was such an interesting musician, and not many people play the Highland bagpipes in a jazz context. And do you remember going to see him and what it was that interested you about him?
Well, I knew about Rufus Harley in the 70s, but I didn't get a chance to photograph him until the 90s. He came to Minneapolis, and I got a chance to photograph him. I was just fascinated with the bagpipes. Besides Rufus Harley, I got a chance to photograph the other two jazz bagpipers, Duke Payne, which was one, and another one, I can't think of his name, but I photographed all three black jazz bagpipers. So it was just a fascination of the sound and that he could create the music that was so different than what everybody else was doing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I didn't even know that there were other people that did that. I thought he was one-off. And Patrice, I'm going to get to you in just a moment, but I also wanted to ask you about Roland Kirk, since you mentioned Rahsaan Roland Kirk.
Back in the early 70s, you could call the radio stations and you could get the telephone number of the musician. I remember calling up Rahsaan, and we talked for about an hour, but I got a chance to photograph him a couple times. One time in Chicago when he was playing all three instruments.
Yeah.
That was the last time that I had my film processed at a processing place, because when I came to pick it up, they told me that it didn't develop. So they stole my film. And after that, the next time I got to photograph him, he had been paralyzed. So I was really upset. But I remember going to a concert with Cannonball Adderley playing the first set and Rahsaan playing the second set. And altogether, it cost $5. Jeez. And that was in North Philly, a place called the Aqua Lounge.
But I mean, that was such a fascinating time. And I think that that time in his life almost kind of captures his spirit even more, because here he was challenged with one side of his body not working, and he redesigned a flute so that he could still play it with one hand, and he was still playing two saxophones at once. It was, he was unstoppable. So,
well, you know, you have to think about, he was also playing a whistle,
yeah,
a manzello, and bells. I mean, so he was just so prolific in the things that he was playing and his imagination, you know, when you think about. And then sometimes he would sing too.
Are you still taking photographs of jazz
musicians? Oh, yeah. I mean, whenever I can. It's a little different now because I'm looking at things a lot different than when I was younger. I think when I was younger, I was just obsessed. As I've gotten older, I'm more particular about who I photograph and what I photograph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've noticed among the more recent images that you have posted is one of Sonny Rollins, who's still with us in his 90s, no longer performs, but can you talk about your experience having taken his photograph?
Well, I think the first time I photographed Sonny was like in 1976, and the last time I photographed him was in 2007. And he had aged, but he was still such a great personality and such a great musician that I was just really fascinated with his sound. And the way he articulated his music, it was something that was just unbelievable, because his sound is so rich. When you hear it, I said, oh, that's Sonny Rollins. You know.
Yeah, Branford Marsalis is on an album with Sonny from the 1980s, I think. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called. But he talked about just being overwhelmed, mm-hmm, by the hugeness of his sound. As, yeah, a saxophonist, he was very intimidated by that. Patrice, so can you talk to me about your participation in this show at the Dow Gallery, and what are your images going to consist of?
Walter and I have been working on this show for a while, and we wanted to collaborate with the Twin Cities Jazz Festival. And Walter's, of course, done photos of iconic musicians for years and years, and he's introduced me to jazz in a way I would never been introduced to it before. So he's allowed me to reference his photographs to do my paintings. And so my paintings are sort of my interpretation of his photographs. But the photographs that I've worked with are local musicians, like Omar, like Kevin Washington, Donald Washington, Davina, Jeff Bailey. Jeff Bailey, yes. So anyway, I've worked with Walter's photographs of those folks and done my own interpretation in paintings. And the background of them are a couple of different shades of gold acrylic, and they're dotted with actual liquid gold, and they shimmer like a Klimt painting. Mm-hmm. So it's been fun. It's been really fun. And then there's a lot of swirling design in it, and that comes to me by watching those musicians. It's like I can feel their energy of the music in my paintings.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, like, when you're looking for inspiration, does that cause you to experience the music in a different way when you know you're going to be creating some art based on the experience of having watched these musicians?
Well, I don't always know I'm going to be creating something from that. And then the other thing I do and will be a part of this show is once I do the paintings, then they inspire me to paint on clothing. So I also have a line of jazz clothing that is hand-painted.
And just kind of to break the fourth wall, before we met for this interview, myself and Paige Tai were out getting some breakfast over at Caribou. And I looked at you and I saw the tribal clefs and the music staffs and stuff on your jacket. I was like, that has to be Patrice. And it was. So is there going to be an opening for Jazz and More?
Yes, it is. Open to the public from June 6th until June 29th. But on June 13th, we are having a fabulous party from 4 until 8. And from 5:30 till 7, the Walker West Jazz Ensemble is going to be playing. So we're very excited. So June 13th at Dow Gallery.
Is there anything else that either of you want to say in front of the opening of your show?
I think that everyone should come to the show. They will really be fascinated with seeing some images I'm sure that they've never seen in their life, because a lot of these things I've never shown, and it will be really interesting to get the response from people. And that's what I have to say. What about you, Patrice?
I just think it's going to be the best party of the year. So show up and enjoy.
And then also you can check out the Twin Cities Jazz Festival. This is going to be open
exactly.
At the same time.
Yeah, so. It's going to be open through the Jazz Festival, and we're very happy to collaborate with them.
Thank you so much to both of you. I've been speaking with Walter Griffin, a documentary photographer, and artist Patrice Goodall Abbey. Their work is going to be shown in a joint exhibit called Jazz and More at the Dow Gallery. I'm Peter Solomon for Jazz 88.